This is not part of my message, but I just feel to say it. Mark chapter 8 in verse 24. There was a man that was blind. And Jesus laid hands on him and said, be healed. But the funny thing was, is Jesus said, can you see now? And the man said, well, I can see better than I could before, because now I see men as trees. But really, I'm still not healed, because it's just everything's still blurry. So there was a portion of a miracle that took place, but the full miracle didn't take place the first time. And this is so powerful for me and you, because this was Jesus, God in the flesh. When he says something, he doesn't make a mistake. He created the world with one word. So why couldn't this take place with one word? Why couldn't he be completely healed with one word here? And it has nothing to do with the power of Jesus being weak or any less than anybody else. But it has everything to do with, I believe, that it was an example that if it didn't happen the first time, then we should have faith to pray again. And so if you were here and you prayed and you feel like that miracle hasn't taken place, then don't hesitate to come back up for another prayer, because we will have that same faith that if you see as men as trees, or you feel like that headache's gone, or you feel like that sickness, or maybe it's diabetes, or maybe it's something else, but if you feel like maybe it's touched a little bit, or maybe you don't feel like it was touched at all, don't lose faith, but have faith to come again for prayer, that we would pray the same prayer, that God would heal you and you will be completely healed. Don't lose your faith, but keep it. Be encouraged today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is Father's Day, and Pastor, I give you so much honor for allowing us to be here. Your pastor is a great man. He has such great faith for this church and for his family. I haven't even preached yet, and I feel like I've been ministered to just by conversation with your pastor. He's a great man. He's leading this church in the direction that God needs him to. But it is Father's Day, and I so badly wanted to preach a Father's Day message. I said, God, I've always been an assistant pastor, so my pastor's always preached Father's Day. And I was like, man, I've always wanted to preach a Father's Day. But God doesn't want me to preach a Father's Day message today. And I feel like just the leading of the Spirit, Pastor, he knows it's not a Father's Day day. And that's all right. But I do give honor to all the fathers here. You are great men, and lead your families with all your strength. There was just a quick story. There was a military guy. His name's Kyle Carpenter. He was a rifleman in the Marine Corps. And this happened in 2010, I believe, in Afghanistan. And they were just doing some routine checks of safety checks in a city there in Afghanistan. And all of a sudden, a grenade landed in their sandbag bunker. And instead of jumping out of the bunker and leaving his friends in there, he actually jumped on the grenade. And it blew his jaw apart, all his teeth. It messed him up. Thank God he didn't die. But because of his heroic act, he was given the Medal of Honor for this. Because the men that were in the sandbag bunker with him all survived, weren't scratched at all because of his sacrifice. Men, you need to do this for your families. If there's a grenade that falls into your family's household, if there's something that falls into your lap that's going to destroy your family, you need to be the first one to jump on that and block that and shield that so your family can go forward. And this Marine, he did not have to do that, but that was what the Marines stood for. They wanted to make sure they were took care of their own. And as men of God, we should take care of our families in that same mentality. I don't care if my life is on the line. Take care of my family. Ephesians 5 and 25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her. Husbands, fathers, men, you need to give yourself, because Jesus said, husbands, love your wives. Or actually, that was Paul, but the Bible says, Love your wives. Love our ladies. Love our women as Christ loved the church. Jesus laid his life down because there were sins in our life that would keep us from him. Men and ladies, I'm about to do something really good for you. When your women, when your wife or your daughter or any other woman causes you some grief maybe for something she said and maybe was getting under your skin, it is your job to be like Jesus. And it doesn't matter how many times she offends you. Jesus is always forgiving the church for their wrongs. You should continue to forgive and forgive and forgive again, because that's your role for your wife, for your family, for our ladies. We should give them enough grace that it doesn't matter what takes place, but you continue to love and forgive and forgive. It is what Jesus does for us every single day. We say something we shouldn't. We think a thought that we shouldn't. We do something that we shouldn't do. And he continues to love us and says, I forgive you. We need to do that for one another. Okay, that's enough Father's Day stuff. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. I do want to, before I pray and go any further, I want to say this. At any point during my message, at any point during me speaking to you, if you feel to respond, if you feel that you need, if that word's for you and you need to respond, do not think that you're interrupting me. Do not think that you cannot come to this altar and receive what you're about to receive. That is why I'm preaching, so you can receive that. So at any moment, I don't care, we can cancel the rest of my message. I'm giving you the liberty to respond when you feel to. And so please feel empowered to respond when God is prompting you, because you're going to be healed. If you need the Holy Ghost, he wants to fill you today. You will leave here with the Holy Ghost. I believe that with all my heart. So please do not hesitate to respond. At this time, let's pray that God would continue to do what he's been doing here. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for what you've done here already, for the powerful prayers of faith that have been prayed. We thank you for the miracles that have already taken place, the healings that have taken place here. We believe there's many more to be done. We pray right now that you would that we would lose faith into the atmosphere, that things would begin to take place that we cannot see, that they would come into the physical, that they would begin to be seen, because our faith pulls them out of the unseen world. Father, I thank you for everything you've done. I pray you would anoint my lips, that I might speak your truth. I pray you would bring revelation and understanding into the hearts and minds of everyone here to receive a word from you, that they could be ready, that they could be prepared to receive a blessing, to receive a miracle, to receive their healing, to receive restoration, to receive deliverance. In Jesus' name, let it be done here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. The church was birthed in a time of great oppression and of the nation of Rome. Hellenistic Rome was much like today. They were a democratic society full of technology and culture and art and wealth and high taxes. They had great aqueducts and great architectural structures such as the Colosseum. And in the Colosseum, they would throw gladiators in there and they would fight to their deaths in the name of peace. They would do this in hoping that it would create peace in the nation. What a dumb excuse to create peace is by killing one another. And then one day Christians would be thrown in the Colosseum to be watched, to be eaten by lions just for sport. What a terrible way to create peace. And this was what was, this is kind of like today. In our culture and society, we look for ways, our culture looks for ways to create peace, and it's all the wrong ways. And our culture takes Christians and throws them, in a modern term, eaten by lions, maybe by social media or on Facebook, or and we get eaten by lions because they twist and take everything we say and destroy us and defame us. And it doesn't even have to be true. They can just say we did it, and everybody thinks that we did it. And we live in such a world now, and in the Roman Empire, if you tried to come against them, they would crush you with the overwhelming forces of their army. And just like today, if you try and come against the political agendas, they will find they will turn every rock. They will try and find out every sin you've ever committed and then defame your name and defraud you from your position. So as pastors, as ministers, as Christians, they will try and go to your past and try to bring it up, and they will try and make you feel like you've always been this way and you've never changed and God never did anything for you and you're just like them. But that's a lie, and that's the world that we live in. But let me tell you, the disciples, even though the church was birthed in such a place of oppression, that's where the church thrived and it grew. The disciples grew every single day, and they did not let that waver their faith. They did not let that change their resolve to see the gospel go forth. And as believers, as apostolics, we should not let that affect us either. We should always be pushing forward. We should not be twisted or waver in the face of some political agenda or some government that's in place at the time. We should not cater to personal preferences or religious traditions. We should not do that. The disciples did not do that, so we should not either. The disciples had great revival. They had great miracles. I'm still waiting for people to have such great faith. We kind of talked about this earlier, but I'm waiting for a church to have such great faith that people will come off the streets just like the disciples. They said, I don't know anything about these people, but I know that if you're in their presence, that there's healing power that goes forth. And so they just had such great faith that they could rip their clothes and you can be healed. Yeah. You can just pray for a cloth and you can be healed. You could just put them in the streets and have them walk by you and you could be healed. Not because they were special, not because we're special, but because they had the faith to believe that there's a God out there that can heal people. And so as the church today, I'm still waiting for someone to have that type of faith to begin to tell you that, hey, you need to come to my church. You need to come because you will be completely healed if you'll come here. And so just like the disciples, they had that type of faith. We need to see a renewing of that type of faith in our churches today. The title of my message is We Are Apostolic. We are apostolic because what it means to be apostolic is this. Simply, we follow along in the apostles' doctrine. That's what our main text said. We followed along in the apostles' doctrine. They fellowshipped in breaking of bread. That's what we should be doing. We should follow along in what has been taught and has always been taught. We don't have to change it. We don't have to make it say something else. We don't have to make it look good. All we have to do is preach the same thing we've always been preaching, believe the same thing we've always believed, and God will do great things among us. We can be bold. We can declare that it will happen. The first reason we are apostolic. Before I go into that, I do want to say this. You might have heard this saying, but being apostolic is not bondage. Somebody might have said, oh, that's bondage. That's rules and regulations. It is not bondage. It is not a cult. Being apostolic is not a bunch of rules and regulations. Being apostolic means that you're the most free people in all the world, because we have been set free by the Creator. So the first reason we are apostolic and the first reason we follow along in the apostles' doctrine is because we believe there's only one God. And that one God's name is what?
Jesus.
Is Jesus. And He's not two, He's not three, He's not four, He's not 1,000. He's only one, and His name is Jesus. If you don't believe me, let me show you a couple scriptures. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Right there, it just says that Jesus is God. He is the Word. Okay, what does that mean? Well, go to Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." The same Word that was born of flesh, the same word that came and dwelt among us, is the same word that spoke all of creation into being. That's the same God we serve. That's the same God we preach. We're not going to change it. We're not going to do anything else. But it has been and it will always be Jesus. In John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The problem with this is when man sinned in the garden, that breath was drew from him. That breath, that's the Spirit of God living inside of him. God could no longer fellowship with man, and so they were kicked out of the garden. They were kicked out of a place of eternal life, because if they were to remain there and eat of the fruit of that garden, they would live forever. And God said, because of your sin, you have now separated. I can't separate you from me, because the Bible says nothing can separate you from the love of God, but you separated yourself from me. And so, because of that, because He breathed into the nostrils of man and created life, and we lost that life, and now we are on this earth, and we die, and there's death and decay, and Jesus, when He came and wrapped Himself in flesh, it says that He breathed on His disciples, and receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's what He said. It says He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. That breath that Jesus breathed, I can only imagine that was some supernatural breath that He was breathing on His disciples, but they did not receive the Holy Ghost that day. They did not speak in other tongues that day. But they waited in a room in Jerusalem, and we call it the upper room. And it was then when there was a sound as a rushing mighty wind. And I just want to kind of give you some picture here. I could just see God going, blowing into that upper room as they were waiting for Him. And as that wind filled that place, it set a fire set upon each of them, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That's the moment that they received the Holy Ghost. That's the moment that they were filled with other tongues. That's the moment that they were filled with God. And so it is that way, because we only believe in one God. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If he was not the Father, then it would not be able to say he would be the Everlasting Father. This is Jesus. And so it says, for unto us a son is given. And then in Luke chapter 1 and verse 32, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth of a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. In Isaiah chapter 43 and 11, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no other. There is no other salvation. In Acts chapter 4 and 12, there's no other salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. In John chapter 1, this is if you don't understand anything else, understand this scripture. John 1 and 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God stepped out of the realm of heaven into the realm of time, into the realm of earth, and He wrapped Himself in that flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. And because of that, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 55, it says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have salvation because we serve one God, and that God paid the price so we could be with Him. That one God paid the price so we could receive salvation from Him. The second reason we are apostolic. So the first is we believe in one God. We follow along in that a doctrine. That's what the apostles preached. You know what other people came after the apostles and tried to do? They tried to say, these guys are dumb. They're ignorant. They're just fishermen. They don't know anything. There's three of them. There's actually three separate beings. And I'm not here to bash anybody, but I'm here to say that we're following along in the apostles' doctrine. The second reason we are apostolic is found in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. It says, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are apostolic because we are a holy people. We are apostolic because we believe in holiness. We are apostolic because God has asked us to consecrate ourselves because He is holy. Being holy is not bondage. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, it says, in the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and two he flew with. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. If holiness was not important to God, if being holy was not important to God, He would not have created angels for their sole purpose to fly above His throne and declare that He's holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holiness is so important to God, He's declaring it forever. Holiness is so important to God that He wants the whole earth, He wants all of eternity to understand that He's a holy God and that He declares that He wants a holy people. We are apostolic because we are holy people. The world hates holiness because holiness identifies us as the people of God. Holiness identifies you that you belong to Him. If the reason people in the world don't like that is because they like to identify as themselves. They like to identify as however what movie star's wearing what or what Hollywood movie's famous today. And so they want to declare their own. But we have our own identity through Jesus. And we are His people. When you live a holy life, you will find purpose. Yeah. If you're struggling with purpose as a believer, it's because you're struggling with holiness. Again, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm just trying to help you. If you're struggling with the purpose in your life, it could be because you're dealing with a holiness issue. I'm not here to say it's because you're not wearing something you shouldn't be wearing or you're not doing something that you shouldn't be doing. But there is a holiness inside of us that God wants us to have, and it comes on the outside as well. It comes from the inside out, but there's something on the inside that we deal with, and if we're struggling with holiness on the inside, we will struggle with our purpose for God. When you live a holy life, you will have peace in your salvation. So many times there's a lot of believers. We've all had a time in our life where we've said, God, am I saved? We've all questioned our salvation. We've all asked God, am I saved? Am I making it to heaven? Am I okay with You? We've all struggled with that at some point or time in our life with God. But if you look back to those moments and you really are truthful, it's really just a struggle for holiness. Because God has saved us. We cannot earn it. We cannot do anything to deserve it. But because we struggle with holiness, it causes you to doubt yourself. It causes you to question, do I have the real thing? Because my heart's saying that I don't. Because my heart's struggling with the holiness idea. When you live a holy life, you are never more acting like God. You are never more acting like God. When you are holy, you are acting like God Himself because He is holy. So when you live a holy life, people will look at you and they will say, wow, who is this person? What are these people doing? Because it's so different. It's so radical. It's so different than what we live and how we live and what we talk about and what we do. And they can't help but look at us and be like, we're different than them. And so when you truly live a holy life, you are never more acting like God. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, it says, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them and will walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, because He's our God and we're His people, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. How many want to be received by God? When you pray prayers, how many want God to receive it? If you need healing, I want God to receive me. But so many times He cannot receive us because we have not separated ourselves to Him. I want to know that I've been separated unto my Creator. I want to be separated. It says, do not touch anything that's unclean. That means if you feel, if you touch things, if you do things in your life and you feel dirty after that, that means you shouldn't be doing that anymore. And for everybody, that might be something different. For some, that might be Facebook. There's nothing necessarily wrong with Facebook. We do Facebook lives. But if you get, you feel dirty after you've looked at Facebook, then maybe you're, that's a check from your heart saying, hey, you don't need to be looking at some of this stuff because it's causing you to doubt. It's causing you to get frustrated. It's causing you to spend hours on there. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. This is what it means to live a holy life, to live a clean, wholesome life. You are a vessel of the living God. He is inside of you. And because He is holy, He makes us holy. And when we struggle with holiness, we question if He's still there. We question if He's still there because we're questioning holiness. Because He's holy. He's inside of us. And so I encourage you, if you feel like you're struggling with that question today, I urge you, make sure you're living a holy life. I urge you to make the commitment, God, help me to be holy so I could be rest assured that You're inside me, that You're dwelling there, that You're with me. The third thing we are, the reason we are apostolic, and this is so powerful. And again, I want to remind you, if you feel at any moment that you are receiving something from God, you need to respond. You need to respond. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, that means this is the beginning stuff of a believer. This is stuff that you learn from day one. It says, elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That means there's so much more for us. And like I said at the beginning of my message, there's so much more for us because we haven't even tapped into what truly the apostles had tapped into, because they were having people had so much faith, they could be healed by just a shadow. They could be healed by just ripping a piece of their clothes and giving it to somebody. They could be healed by just anointing a cloth and healing take place. And yes, some of that takes place today, but not on that scale. And it's because maybe we're still struggling with elementary principles, and we need to go on to perfection. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. We don't need to go back to repentance every day, every time. If you're struggling with that, you need to grow past that. You need to get past repenting every day. I mean, if you've sinned, you need to repent, but you need to get past some of those sins that caused you to have to repent every single day. And then it says, and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms. This, again, all basic. And of laying on of hands. And I want to stop there. The laying on of hands is a basic apostolic doctrine. It's something that we do. It's something that we should understand as basic believers, that there is something that takes place when we lay hands on people. If you don't understand what this means, go to Mark chapter 10 and verse 16. It says, and He took them up in His arms. This is Jesus. He took them up in His arms and laid His hands on them and blessed them. This is Jesus practicing what He's preaching. He lays hands on people and He blesses them. He laid hands on people and they were healed. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to Him, and He laid hands on every one of them and they were all healed. In Acts 6 and verse 6, it says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. This is a basic apostolic principle that we need to understand today, that we could lay hands on people and they can be healed, like we did already in our prayer service. When we felt there was a time of healing in this place, we laid hands on you. We anointed you with oil. This is a basic principle because it happens. There's power that goes forth from inside of us, and it causes healings to take place because faith has been loosed in the atmosphere. And then it says in 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Elder, if you're in this place right now and you feel like you don't have much energy like you used to, and you feel like you don't have much of a task to do in the church, and you just kind of come to church and fly under the radar, this verse right here should be a testimony to you. You might not have the energy to jump and run the aisles like you used to, but you should have enough energy just to put your hand on someone. And when you do that, you should have faith that there will be virtue that will go from you. Not because you're anything special, but because you serve the same God as we do. Because you're an apostolic believer. You need to take authority in that you're apostolic. And when you lay hands on somebody, they will be healed. They will be restored. They can receive the Holy Ghost. There can be restoration from anything. There can be deliverance from anything. If there's an addiction, when you lay hands on somebody, they could be completely healed. In 2 Timothy 1:6, well, I'm not an elder. 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. When you lay hands on one another, there's a gift that's getting stirred up inside of us. There's a gift that gets stirred up inside of you. So when you feel discouraged, that's not the time to sit back and watch. That's not the time to stay home. But that's time to come to church with your brother and say, yeah, I'm not doing all right today. Will you lay hands on me and stir the gift up inside me? Help me stir up the gift inside me, brother. You can pray those types of prayers. You can have that type of boldness. Yes, I might not feel strength today. I might feel weak in my body, but hey, will you lay hands on me and help me stir that gift up inside me? And we talked about faith this morning, the gift of faith. The gift of faith is simply this: when you receive healing, you've received a gift of faith. So when it talks about gifts of faith, it means you've received multiple healings. It means you've received multiple gifts. We are apostolic because we lay hands on people. If you're ever struggling, if you're ever doubting, I encourage you, lay hands on someone. Stir that gift up inside you. The fourth reason we are apostolic is because we're a worshiping people. We are a worshiping people. You cannot call yourself a Christian if you do not worship God. You cannot call yourself a believer. You cannot call yourself apostolic if you do not worship God. You might have the Holy Ghost. You might have been baptized in Jesus' name. But if you fail to worship Him, you are not practicing. You are not participating in a relationship with God. Again, I'm not here to give you bad news or make you feel bad. But I'm here to encourage you to say that if you will worship, things can take place like never before. I'm so glad we had a great worship service. But if you just can worship during music, you're not truly worshiping yet. Because you can worship God when it's quiet in the confines of your living room. You can worship God at the grocery store. You can worship God in your car. You can worship God anywhere. There doesn't have to be a drum beating. There doesn't have to be a nice keyboard going. All that has to be is that your heart is ready to worship your King. A heart that's ready to worship your Creator. If God didn't want us to worship, He wouldn't have used that word 222 times throughout Scripture. If God didn't want you to worship Him, He wouldn't have used the word sing 170 times throughout Scripture. If God didn't want you to clap and worship Him, He wouldn't have used that word 11 times through Scripture. If He didn't want us to dance and be a dancing people, He wouldn't have used the word dance 30 times. You know, Pastor, if I'm wrong, please forgive me. You know, I was raised in this thing, and I was always taught that we're not supposed to dance. And I understand that now. We're not supposed to be like the world and dance like the world and flaunt our bodies like the world. But it caused me to not dance in the church either. It caused me to say, hey, that's you're a little crazy because you're dancing over in the corner. But now that I'm older and I understand some things, we, as every culture, if you study cultures out, if you study people out in every country, in every language, everybody has their own language, they have their own music, and they have their own dance. Every culture, as a believer, as apostolic culture, we should have our own dances. We should have our own dance. We should have our own songs. We should have our own claps. We are a worshiping people because we worship our God. If God didn't want us to worship, He wouldn't have used the word shout 180 times throughout Scripture. So if you say you can't shout because your vocal cords are too weak, that's okay, you can clap. If you say your hands are hurt because you've been working so hard all week, you can shout. If you can't do either of those, then you can begin to dance. If you can't dance, then you can just lift a hand. There's something you can do to worship your God. If He didn't want us to worship Him with instruments, He wouldn't have used that 27 times throughout Scripture. In Psalms 41 and 7, it says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the God with the voice of triumph." If it hurts, I've worked so hard, it hurt to just grip my hand. I've worked so hard all day with a hammer that I could barely grip my hand shut because it just hurt. I didn't even want to clap. I didn't want someone to shake my hand. I've been there. But you know what? I still kind of did this. Because I could not resist but worship God. And because I had a voice, I just said, "Jesus, I love you. I worship you." All of us have no excuse to not worship God. There is no excuse why we can't lift up our voice, or we can't clap, or we can't somehow tap our foot, or we can't dance. There should be no excuse because we're a worshiping people. We are apostolic. This is our identity. We are apostolic because we worship Him. Psalms 150 says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty firmament, praise Him with the sound of trumpet." Pretty much, if you read through it, it says, "With everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord." If you are breathing, even the animals praise God. Did you know that even if when Jesus was going through the streets of Jerusalem, when they were welcoming Him, they tried to shut them up and say, "Hey, don't let them worship. Don't let them do that. Because if they're praising a man." But Jesus said, "If I have them stop, then the rocks will cry out. Then the earth will have to speak for them, because I'm the Almighty God, and I deserve the praise and the worship." It's been prophesied that they would do this. And so when I come into Jerusalem, there has to be someone that's worshiping me. And so Jesus said, "Do not shut them up, because then the rocks will just cry out." I'm here today to tell you, if it's in creation, it's worshiping God. How do you worship God? You do what you were meant to be created for. How do you worship God? You do what God created you to do. A rock is meant to sit there and just look good. That's glorifying God. The grass is meant to be green and grow like it's supposed to grow. That's glorifying God. The mountains are supposed to stand tall and look like magnificent. And that's what they're supposed to do, and that's what gives glory to God. When you go to the mountain ranges, maybe the Smoky Mountains, if you've ever been to California, been to Yosemite, it's so beautiful, it's so gorgeous, it testifies of our Master, it testifies of a beautiful Creator. It's worshiping God. The earth worships God. We should worship God because He created us to. He created humanity to worship Him. And so when we worship Him, we're being what God created us to be. I do want to mention this before I move on to my next one. Peter, when he was in prison, he was beaten and they were getting ready to kill him. And the church began to pray and worship all night long. They said, "Our pastor," Peter was their pastor, they said, "He's in prison. They're about to take his life. What are we to do?" And so they begin to praise and worship God all night. They begin to intercede for Peter. This is believers to believers. Believers to believers. When they begin to do that, it says an angel appeared to Peter in that jail and took his chains off. But Peter in that jail cell had 16 guards around him. 16 guards. He was in the innermost part of the prison. And he just walked out of that place. He just walked out of it. Nobody knew he was gone. Nobody could see him. What a powerful miracle. And when he got out of that place, he didn't even think that was possible. Peter was in awe of what took place. But when we as a church gather together, believer to believer, anything is possible. If there's a brother or sister that's struggling, you need to just find a place and worship God. You need to find a place and just give it all to God. If there's a need in this church, if pastor's family's struggling, if anybody in this church is struggling, that should be a sign to the believers. We need to, pastor, we need to get together. We need to open the church up. We need to pray. We need to intercede. We need to worship God, because anything can happen when we begin to intercede for our believers, for our brothers and our sisters. But to take it even further, that's from believer to believer. What happens when we worship as a congregation? Paul and Silas, when they were in prison in Acts chapter 16, they were also beaten and put in prison. But there was something different about this time, because it says at the midnight hour, they begin to just sing. They just begin to sing songs. And I, because we're apostolic, we sing songs about the goodness of God, about how great, you know, you are good all the time. And so I could just see Peter and Paul, or Paul and Silas in the prison saying, you are good all the time, in their words, in their, the way they would sing a song like that. And the other, I could just see the other inmates just thinking, this guy is crazy. These guys are nuts. Shut up. It's midnight. It's time to go to sleep. And they just kept singing. But you know what happened when they sang true worship to God? It said their chains fell off and the doors opened up. But not only their doors, but even the ones that are guilty in there. There were murderers, there were thieves, there were rapists, there were all kinds of people in that prison that deserved to be there, that deserved their punishment. And when the church began to worship in that prison, it says that all the inmates were set free. When we gather together as believers in the church, and there's someone that comes into this building that is chained and bound in their sin, and maybe they have addictions or anything else, our worship should be so powerful that it can drive away every spirit. It can break every chain. It can open every prison door, because our worship is so powerful. Because we are apostolic. This is our identity. We are a worshiping people. We should be the most worshiping people in all the earth. There shouldn't be any other religion that worships harder than we worship. Because we worship the one true God. We worship God Almighty. We worship the Creator of every living thing. There is no one higher. There is no one greater than our God. He is almighty. We are apostolic because we worship Him. If my wife will come, I'm almost done. The last reason we are apostolic and we follow along in the apostles' doctrine is because we are born again. We believe in the born again experience. In John chapter 3, and you might have heard this before, but that's all right. John chapter 3, there was a man named Nicodemus. He wanted to know if, how do you go to heaven? Good question. How do you get to heaven? And nobody better to answer it than Jesus. And Jesus, being God, said, I can, that's an easy question. You just got to be born again. And Nicodemus, because he did not have special revelation, he said, Jesus, what does that mean? How can you be born twice? Jesus said, well, I'll explain it to you. You must be born of water and of spirit. Water and of spirit. And I don't have time to go through all this. But what it means to be born of water, it means to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you've ever questioned what baptism is and how you identify with it, that's you being born of water. That's how we get to heaven. It's not works-based. It's faith-based. It's faith-based by when you go in the water, that's, you're getting a ticket to heaven. And then what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? To be born of the Spirit. As I already said, Jesus breathed on His disciples. And He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And as they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke in another language they did not understand. And if anybody tells you that's not for everybody, they're lying to you. It's for everyone. It's for everyone, because it's how we get to heaven. It's how we make it to heaven. It's how we can get there to those pearly gates and we can see Jesus. There's a big book up in heaven, and your name will be in it if you're born again. I want my name to be in that book. I don't want there to be any question that my name's in that book. So I want to make sure that I follow the Word of God. I don't just want to take somebody's word for it. I don't want to just, hey, that's what so-and-so told me. That's how, Jesus, when I see you, I just believe because somebody told me that's all I had to do. I didn't have to do anything else. Well, let me tell you, I don't want to appear before my Maker and say, hey, I thought this is what I was supposed to do. I want to appear before the judge who's Jesus. I want to say, hey, judge, your word says this. You said this. It's you're the judge. You spoke these words. If you're born again, you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Jesus, judge, I was baptized in your name, in Jesus' name, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost with other tongues. I'll prove it to you right now, and I'll start speaking in tongues in that courtroom that's up there in heaven. When I appear before the judge, I want to be able to say, I've been born again. I've been bought with your blood. I've been covered. I've been buried in baptism in Jesus' name. I want to have that boldness when I stand before Jesus. I want to be able to say that. And this is our identity as apostolic people. We are apostolic because we've been baptized in Jesus' name and we receive the Holy Ghost. It's not bondage. It's not a cult. It's our doctrine. It's who we are. It's because Jesus taught us that way. So can we stand? My question for you. Yes. Restoration. Father, I pray right now, by the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, by her confession, she has said she wants restoration, Lord. She has come here with the faith to say that if she would come, that she would be completely restored to whatever capacity she wants to be restored to. Father, I pray by her faith, let her be made whole. By her faith, let her be completely restored. In the name of Jesus, let it be done here today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done here. We thank you for what you're about to do in this place. We thank you, Lord, for this restoration. We thank you for her restoration in Jesus' name. Hiyoria bahasiket. Hiyoria bahosata. Hiyoria bahosata. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. It's not time to hold back. It's time to worship Him. It's time to be born again. It's time to act apostolic because we are an apostolic church. Come on, church, don't hold back. Push forward. Have faith to believe that anything is possible. If you have a family member that's not here today, then have enough faith to say, I'm going to anoint this cloth. I'm going to anoint something, and I'm going to bring it to my family. I'm going to bring it to my friend. Come on, someone needs to have enough faith in this place to begin to pray a big prayer, to begin to have a lot of faith, to say, yes, I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now by the authority of the Word of God in the power of the name of Jesus. I pray you would provide for him because you said that you are our shepherd and we shall not lack. And you will prepare a table before our enemy. And I pray right now you will be his provision. You will open a new career path. You will open a new job, a new position that he would be able to supply for his family. That he would be abundantly overflowing with finances. That he could bless this church more than he's blessed it before. That he can operate in your power, in your freedom, more than he's ever done before. I pray you would bless him financially. That he would leave here today. And that he would begin to apply for these new jobs. I pray you would open up the opportunity, the doorway, for him to have more finances in his home. I pray you would give him the wisdom to understand how he needs to take care of his finances. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. God, I pray in the near future that he would get a phone call from an employer that would offer him the best deal that he's ever heard. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, don't hold back. Don't hold back. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray you help her to understand exactly what she's been called to do. I pray you would help her to understand
where you need her to be.
I pray you would help her to know exactly what you have called her to do in the rest of her life. I pray you give her direction. I pray you give her understanding. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Come on, if you need the Holy Ghost, make your way up to this altar. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. In the name of Jesus, touch him, Lord. Help him, God, to see what he's called to do. Help him, God, to see your vision for his life. God, I pray you help him to see with your eyes as he looks at his future, that he would begin to pray big prayers in Jesus' name. Father, I pray you would help him to be used in the gifts of the Spirit like he's never been used before. I pray he would have apostolic authority that he's never operated in before. I pray right now he would receive this power. I pray he would receive this anointing in Jesus' name, that he would work in all the gifts, that he would seek the gifts, that he would seek to work in them in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter where he's at, if he's at the grocery store, if he's at his job, if he's on a plane, if he's on a boat, if he's driving. God, I pray you help him to operate in these gifts in Jesus' name. Come on, stir that gift. Stir that gift up inside you through the laying on of hands. God, I pray that you would anoint him, that you would stir those gifts up, that he would be operating in these gifts like he's never operated before. I pray you would give him wisdom. I pray you would give him instruction. In the name of Jesus, let it be done, because we are an apostolic church and we operate in apostolic authority. I pray right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray you give him vision. I pray you give him so much vision it cannot be completed in his lifetime. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray blessing over him. I prophesy over him that he would be blessed beyond measure. I pray that he would have joy unspeakable. I pray he would begin to reach people he's never reached before. I begin to prophesy to him that you would lead him to people that he's never thought he could reach. I pray you would give him words of wisdom to be able to speak to those that need to be spoken to, Lord. I pray you fill his mouth with wisdom and words from your Spirit, that he would be able to lead people to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I pray right now that you would give her strength as she is tired and weary at times. I pray you would renew her strength as she would go into these next 2 weeks. I pray you would renew her power. I pray you would renew her spirit in Jesus' name, that she would be a blessing, that she would be a blessing beyond measure in Jesus' name, that she would have influence in these children's lives, that she would make a difference as they are left in her care in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, pray big prayers of faith. Have great expectation. If you need a miracle that cannot be performed here today, I encourage you, if you have to rip your shirt and say, this is a sign, this piece of cloth will be a sign that they will be healed, that this piece of cloth will be a sign of healing, of that virtue would go forth, then you need to do that. You need to do that. You need to operate in your faith. You need to operate in your faith. You need to have great faith that anything is possible. If somebody needs teeth, you can pray and teeth can be there. If there's a broken bone, you can pray for those broken bones and they can be healed. If you need anything, if you will have the faith to speak it, it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray healing right now in Jesus' name. I pray you would strengthen him. I pray that he would leave here possessing some things that he cannot come here with. I pray you would renew in him passion for you. I pray you would renew in him who he is, who his identity is in you, Lord. I pray right now that he would leave here, that he would know that he is a man of his God, that he can take authority, spiritual authority. In Jesus' name, he owns you. Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Anoint, bless, touch them, Lord. In Jesus' name. By the authority of the word of God in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak life over her. I pray that you would begin to touch her like she's never been touched before. I pray that you would begin to speak to her and that she would be able to hear your word, Lord. I pray you would give her revelation and understanding that she's never had before. I pray, Lord, that you would give her dreams. I pray you would help her to know that she is okay in your sight, that she can be made whole, that she can be restored, that she would lay all down for you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray you help him to be the man that he needs to be. I pray that you would lead him, that you would give him strength, that you would give him boldness to stand up and do what he needs to do. I pray that you would give him strength to provide for him and his family. I pray that you would provide for him, Lord. I pray you would take care of every need. In the name of Jesus, give him strength right now. Give him boldness. Let him leave here possessing something he did not come here with. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now for her faith. I pray that her faith would be increased from this moment forward, that she could pray big prayers. I pray she would have faith for herself. I pray she would have faith for her family. I pray she would begin to intercede for some things that she's never interceded before. I pray, God, that you would touch her, that you would anoint her, that you would help her to see that there's a great plan for her life, that there's people that you need her to reach, that there's people that are waiting for her to come and minister to them. In the name of Jesus, receive it now. Receive it now. Receive that power. Receive that word. Receive that strength. Receive that virtue. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. She would leave here more bold than she's ever lived for you before. I pray you would give her the faith that if she laid hands on somebody, it doesn't matter how weak she might feel, but she would have the strength to be able to pray big prayers for this church and for her family. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, receive strength right now to do what you need to do. Receive strength right now. Receive restoration and healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Like a raging fire burning my soul. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost.
That you would have it more abundantly than he's ever had, Lord. I pray he would leave with a joy unspeakable. I pray you would anoint him, that you would show him there is such a plan for him, that there is such a purpose for him, that he would leave here knowing there is such a great God that can change my life forever, that can change any situation, that can change any path, any direction. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Let it be done. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. God's calling someone right now. He's calling you. He's calling you to a ministry. He's calling you. He's telling you exactly what you need to do. He's telling you that you need to step out in faith. You might not feel talented enough. You might not feel like you've been gifted that way. That's okay. If he placed that burden in your heart, then you need to step out in faith and say, yes, Lord, I accept the call. I accept it right now. I'm going to reach those people that I never thought I could reach. I'm going to step out in faith and pray those prayers that I never thought before. God, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to teach my first Bible study. I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to teach Sunday school. I'm going to step out in faith and begin an all-night prayer meeting. I'm going to step out for the first time and declare in front of everybody that I'm going to pray and fast until something happens, until this church has more revival than it's ever had before, until this church is full of people. I want to see such a great revival in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let there be miracles, signs, and wonders go forth. In Jesus' name, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God, open the windows of heaven
Fall on us today. Fall on us. Fall on us. Fall on us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Keep praying. I don't want to stop you from praying, but if you feel like you want to keep praying. But I do want to do one more thing. If you were in Sunday school today, we handed out these mustard seeds, faith of a mustard seed. But what I want to do right now, if there's a need that's not here, maybe it's someone that's lost that needs to be saved. Or maybe someone's sick that they can't make it to church, or maybe they're dying on their death, but I don't know. But you know all the different needs that you might have that might be in your family or your friends. Or maybe it's a boss, or maybe it's a coworker that you've been working on, that you've been trying to get a Bible study with. I don't know what it is. But if you have something like that, I want to just exercise what the disciples did. So I want you to come, if there's a need, I want you to just come grab one of these seeds, and I want you to give it to whoever needs it. That when you give it to them, if they need healing, that it would be that grain of a mustard seed that they can receive healing. Right at that very moment, I want you to have faith that before you give it to them, I want you to explain, when I give you this, you're going to be healed. I want you to speak boldness when you do that. When you take this and give it to them, say, you're going to be healed right now when I give this to you, and pray the prayer of faith in your life. And just begin to pray for them and say, God, I believe you're going to heal them right now. I want you to say that. I want you to take boldness in that. If somebody needs a job and they're not here today, or if it's any type of need, I want you to give it to them with the faith that, that when they get it, that need will be fulfilled in their life at that very moment. So if you want to come grab one, come grab one. If you need two, because there's two loved ones, come grab two. And we're gonna anoint them and pray for them before we leave here. Anyone else? You need another one? You can, if you have people you know, give it to them. Give it to them in faith. I want someone, will someone take one more? And what I want you to do with this, we're going to pray for it. But I want us to pray that that would be a new soul that we've never reached before. So whoever you give that to, pray, keep interceding over that and say, when you give it to him, that that person is going to come to this church and that person is going to be saved. I want us to have that type of faith. If you don't believe it can happen, it's never going to happen. And he said he could do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. I can think of a lot of crazy stuff. So I just have faith that God's going to do great things. So never underestimate what God can do. Have such great faith. If you know some, if you just want to try it out, if you just want to test the waters and say, hey, I'm going to give this to someone at Walmart and tell them, this is your salvation. I'm going to pray that you're saved from this moment forward. Test it out and get their phone number. Say, hey, I want to keep in contact. Text me when you feel like God has saved you. I want you to test those waters out. Speak great things. Do things that you've never done before. Step out in faith and speak things you've never spoken before. Because God will do great things. He will meet your faith more than you could ever imagine. Let's pray for each and every need. If you get that seed, I want you to raise it up, and I want you to declare that healing virtue will go forth, that a new job will go forth, that your family will have peace, whatever it is, that loved one will come to Jesus. Whatever it is, Father, I pray by the authority of the Word of God, in the power of the name of Jesus, I loose the gift of faith over these seeds, that when they get to their destination, when they reach their final destination, that healing virtue would go forth, that deliverance would go forth, that salvation would go forth. I pray that destinies would be birthed when these seeds get to their destination. I pray that a destiny would be born when these are passed to their destination. I pray our kids would come back to Jesus. I pray our marriages would be mended. I pray this church would have such great revival that this church building cannot contain it. I pray they would have to get a new building in Jesus' name. I pray that they would have to have church outside because this church cannot house it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, let it be done. Let it be done. We speak it into the atmosphere. We speak it into the heavenly gates, that God would hear it in his throne room. In the name of Jesus, let it be done here today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To you be all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to ask one question. If we've prayed for you and you asked for healing, do you feel like you've been healed? Do you feel like you received your healing? Deliverance, healing? Anyone else? Healed from your headaches? In Jesus' name, yes. Anyone else? This is important because you need to go home and you need to say, hey, guess what happened today? There were three people healed. You need to have that expectation. You don't need to be afraid to ask. If you pray for someone, ask them, are you any better? How's it feel? Because Jesus did that. Jesus did that. And pray again, and pray again, and pray again until it happens, because that's what Jesus' example is to us. Be encouraged today. Leave here with strength.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'd like our fathers to come. Got a little gift to give you. Amen. Praise God. We're thankful for the men in this church. Amen. The presence of God in their lives. Amen.